Hello and welcome to the Engine Podcast. I'm Susie Bentley Tanner, Director of Strategy at Engine Transformation. Today I'm joined in the studio by Danny Barrasso, Regional CEO at Esprit, to talk about transforming retail organizations from the inside out and to ask Danny to share his experiences in reshaping the European fashion house. Welcome, Danny.
Hey, Susie.
Hello. Just to get us started, can you tell us a little bit about your background? How long you've worked in retail and what some of the highlights are of your career?
Yeah, sure. So I've been working for just over 20 years. I know you look at me thinking I've worked for probably longer than that. It's a tough paper round when I was a kid. So I started my career predominantly in travel, actually. And I used to work for Thomas Cook for nearly 12 years. And during my stint at Thomas Cook, I ran South Coast retail business, which was probably my first introduction into general management and my connection with retail in travel. And then I moved to Hilton and ran all their e-com business across Europe, Middle East and Africa. Then I took a short time in a startup and then joined New Look, where for just nearly 4 years I was the managing director of the UK business. And now I'm the regional CEO of Esprit. I've been there for just nearly 18 months. And I think my career is probably, I started my career as the whole world became digital. It was when, in travel, when Expedia really started challenging how the high street, the travel retailers on the high street had to really up their game and start delivering different experiences, connecting people through more digital as opposed to physical space. And I think being part of that journey was really interesting because I was at the very beginning of Google before, the very start when they only had SEO before they had a digital and AdWords proposition. That was really interesting growing through that phase and seeing how advertising and digital marketing really changed how you connect with consumers. So that was really exciting. I think at Hilton, the challenges were different, but building an e-com business and, you know, getting consumers to move from traditional forms of booking travel direct to hoteliers, that was really exciting. But I think I'm most proud of the work I've done at New Look and more recently at Esprit, where tackling challenges that are facing the fashion industry around omni-channel businesses, around getting the right level of digitalization, and really building customer-centric organisations. And we've done a lot of work at New Look and we're continuing to do a lot of work at Esprit to build a really customer-centric organisation.
Just touching on that, one of the things that you mentioned is around how digital grew because of the changing customer behaviours. As we know, shoppers have become less brand loyal and they've shifted their shopping habits online, and many retailers have failed to deliver an e-commerce offering quickly enough. And that's left a real disconnect between the physical and the digital experiences. What do you see as the main impact on Esprit and the industry in general of these changing consumer demands?
Yeah, I think typically mono brands have struggled because they've had, you know, really big reliance on bricks and mortar, on stores, and then they've been forced into creating digital propositions. And over the years, over the last 10, 15 years, that whole environment's really changed. So the challenge is the big platforms, so whether you're talking about Matches Fashion in Luxury, whether you're talking mass market ASOS, Zalando, or Amazon has really, how they've forced us to think differently, they've really changed the game on a number of levels. One, they're bringing greater convenience to customers. if you just look at Amazon, Amazon Prime, they, you know, they really own the market in terms of free delivery, next day delivery, huge product ranges, super convenience, and it's now just really effortless to engage with you know, with Amazon when you're just looking at buying any kind of product. So I think how they've innovated is through, you know, thinking, what does the customer really want and need? How, in terms of width of range, how quickly can we get them the product? And they've been really strong on price. So it's changed how customers, I think, really engage when they start to think about commodity products. You know, it's very easy just to jump onto Amazon and buy. When you think about fashion, I think it needs to be more considered. And platforms like ASOS, who have done really well in terms of delivering growth across multiple markets, they've just given width of choice and invested significantly on technology in order to try and win the game. So therefore, I think more of the mono brands have really had to think about their whole proposition, their customer experience, and how do they get customers today who have so much choice to come and buy direct sometimes. And I think that's what some of the challenges the high street brands are facing today.
And what do you think the answer is? You know, do you beat them or join them? If it's now seen as parity to have next day delivery and all of that choice, what can monobrands do?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is, clearly from a brand perspective, you need to give customers a reason to want to come and shop with you directly. So some brands offer much bigger choices and wider ranges when you come direct. So ASOS, as an example, won't stock every single option of a fashion item. They will pick, you know, 20, 30% of the range, sometimes a bit more. So if you want more breadth from your favorite brand, then you do go direct because you've got more choice. I think the second thing you need to do is listen to the customer, collect as much insight and data points as you can, and try and understand what it is they want, what it is they don't want. I think some of the challenges is that if you try and go head to head with these players like Amazon and ASOS, you're just going to bleed a lot of cash because commercially, Amazon has a different valuation in terms of the eyes of the shareholders, and I think they can probably have much lower EBITDA ratios versus your mono players. And some of this cost you've got to put into the business to have DCs in multiple markets to meet the needs of a consumer that wants their product the next day is just not, you know, it's just, you can't achieve it in isolation if you're just operating one brand. So I think you need to have a real strong purpose of why customers would come direct to you. I think you need to make sure that your proposition is really clear and well-defined. So you might not want to play in giving free express delivery, but you're really clear that when you get express, you know, there's a cost to it, but you outweigh the barriers for the customer with other options, such as you give them more if you've got a loyalty program, you've got to give the customers more points buying directly from you versus not getting any points if they shop your brand on ASOS. So you've got to think holistically about your whole proposition and not try and just, you know, beat these platforms on free delivery or, you know, trying to create speed and put loads of cash into something that is just not going to pay back for you.
If you think a little bit about, you mentioned the word investment and the fact that it takes quite a lot to drive a really amazing customer experience and a really amazing omni-channel customer experience. You know, when people hear about the most, you know, fantastic experiences out there, people often think of John Lewis, which seems very customer focused and incredibly seamless in terms of what they deliver to customers. But that takes a lot of investment to get to sort of that stage. So what do you think brands can do? And I know that when we work together, this is a challenge, not just for Esprit, but with lots of retailers. How can you improve the customer experience overall while at the same time driving operational efficiency? And even, do you think it's possible? to do that.
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's not, if it was easy, I think everyone would have cracked it by now. I think that there's a couple of things. There's one, you need to keep everything simple, and organizations can sometimes, through legacy systems, through aging processes, not changing or reviewing their operation for many years, it's very easy to overcomplicate what should be quite simple. So, the work that you came and did with us was really beneficial, because you reviewed and tore apart a number of processes, especially our retail operation, and challenged us to think differently about the task and about being more efficient, whether that be something as simple as more effective resource planning, having your resources, in your store at the right time when there's the right footfall or sales demand. Some of that stuff is fairly straightforward, but a lot of retailers still aren't really delivering the level of efficiency that you would expect. So it comes down to choices. So I think you need to understand what is it that customers really need from your brand. What is it they're telling you through, surveys, feedback, depending however you want to engage and glean as much information from the customer? What are they telling you where you can improve? And then it's a case of looking at the investment choices and the returns. So you can get lost down a rabbit warren trying to fix all the problems, and you can end up spending a huge amount of cash where you're not really going to see the return. So what we've done is take all of our big major processes, look at how we can make them more efficient. Are there elements that we can remove? Are there new processes we need to add? And then look at the amount of investment you need to make by changing all of these processes. And then prioritize and see which ones are going to give you the biggest return, which ones are going to make the customer's life much easier. And then you just test and learn, and you just continuously iterate through transforming your organization by being very nimble, agile, and taking a process, changing it, see if it improves for the better. If it does, scale it, roll it out, go to the next process. And I think that's what has been successful at Esprit, and what you've challenged us to do is to really simplify what we do today and make it more customer centric. Now, clearly, coming back to the conversation earlier, if you say to the customer what would make you really happy, and we just talk about delivery, for example, every customer wants free delivery. If you say to them, do you want to pay for your delivery or do you want it free? They're going to say, of course they want it free.
Sure.
But it's a decision on choices and what is the market doing. So today we charge for delivery, but moving forward, we're reviewing giving free delivery to our platinum customers. So if you have a loyalty program, you reward your customers and their behavior in different ways. So I think it's a case of understanding what is it the customer wants, how are you serving them today, and making choices. But ultimately, the choices that we make are the ones that have the biggest impact directly on the customer. Because at the end of the day, they're the only person that really matters in the business.
Can you think of any brands that are doing it right, operationally? Sort of any brands that have got it figured out and have really great lean processes and are really able to deliver an amazing customer experience? I remember you told me about the watch story.
Remind me of the watch story.
Where you were able to see all of the reporting.
Ah, yes. That's a, yeah,
on your watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I was on holiday with the family, and as always, I went to visit our stores. I was in Tenerife, and there was a few Esprit stores in Tenerife, and I always try and see new stores and go and see the competition as well. And I was actually in a Levi's store, and there was a woman there wearing what looked like a sports watch, and caught my attention. So I said to her, look, tell me about the watch. To, you know, what what's that? Is it a sports watch? What's it for? And I was expecting her to say something like, oh, yeah, I'm a triathlete and I'm using it to track all my calories and my heart rate. And she said, no, it's a new tool we've just launched in the business, and it enables us to track sales by the hour. It sends us alerts based on tasks that come down from the head office. And it means whilst we're operating on the shop floor, we're able to still perform a multitude of tasks while serving the customer. And I was fascinated by this and ended up having a conversation with this store manager for about an hour about how how Levi's are transforming their business using wearable technology. So I was really impressed by the level of tech that Levi's were using in store. And I think that's, a company that has clearly seen a benefit in multitasking and driving great efficiency and not having the manager stuck in the manager's office on the computer running reports and trying to analyze, their business. They just pass everything through some wearable tech. So that can be done on a phone. It can be done on a watch. You can use lots of different devices. But it was a really smart use of wearable technology, whereby the store manager could really drive their team based on sales coming through by the hour. And what I was fascinated by is that in the last hour of the day, if they know they're 100 euros off their target, the manager would say, right, drop everything we're doing and just focus every customer that walks through the door. We just need to try and sell two pairs of jeans. That's the focus. And it just really breaks it down in a simple way. And it's super commercial and super sales driven. So I was really impressed by that.
And so on the other, I love that story. And on the other sort of flip side of that, you mentioned managers sitting in back offices and having to pull reports. Those kind of things and those kind of operations can have a really detrimental effect on frontline employees.
Yeah.
Can you think of any other examples in terms of how that link between poor operations and the ability for frontline staff to manage those stores and sell effectively?
Yeah, of course. I think the more tasks you put into an organization, the more you expect your retail teams, who should, their sole focus should be service and selling. The more you take them off the shop floor, the more you give them more tasks to do that takes them away from the customer, your business is going to hurt. So whether that be how your deliveries are processed and coming into the store, sending two really large deliveries per week in unsorted totes, this is going to mean more manpower on those 2 days, keeping your staff away from the customer. Dropping down different VM directives every week, knee-jerk reactions on trade, getting the team to do something different every single day is gonna impact the business. So you need to be more planned, more controlled, and try and think about how you can take as much task away from the store teams so that their only job is to deliver exceptional service to their customers and to try and sell more. So, when we've looked at processes within the Esprit organization, as we've done in all the other organizations I've worked in, you're trying to look at the most efficient way to run your operation so the teams can spend as much time with the customer as possible. And that's got to be the answer. So whether it be processing deliveries, making that more efficient, whether it be, when you're picking up, when a customer comes in to pick up a click and collect parcel, if your stock room that stores the click and collect parcels on the third floor back of house, that's going to take time for you to deliver exceptional service. So every part of the process and every customer touch point, you've got to think to yourself, is this as efficient as it can be and how can we improve it?
And I think that I wonder what the trade-off is. I don't think anyone would argue that you want to free up sales associates to sell, but the reason that those operational inefficiencies started, I suppose, is because you're wanting to take costs earlier in the supply chain out and you're putting it onto the store staff. So if you want to then start to reverse that trend and start putting the onus back onto the DC, for example, again, there's a cost implication to that. Mm. So what is the business case that you need, even though you know fundamentally that people will sell more if they have more time to sell more? You hope that's the case. Sometimes that's quite difficult to quantify.
Mm.
What do you think the answer to that?
Yeah, so that's a good debate that you face in many organizations. So the cost of your retail employees sometimes is cheaper than your cost of the processing within the DC in that particular example. So it's a case of making sure that you analyze what is the overall saving of moving the task away from the store, putting it upstream, how much extra is that going to cost, versus the having more people on the shop floor serving customers, how much can you drive your items per transaction or your conversion rate? So you've got to look at it quite objectively and say, well, you know, we're going to remove task in store, pick 10 stores, run a test, look at putting more hours into service, seeing if it increases conversion, if it increases the number of items you're selling per transaction, and then model up where the cost should sit. Because the challenge is, for any organization, you know, costs are increasing. You know, in the UK and in certain European markets, you've got the cost of the living wage or the minimum wage is increasing every year. Inflation is driving cost up. So at some point, your cost base in running a retail business gets untenable. Then you've got to make choices and you've got to be as efficient as possible. So it's a case of looking at the cost of every process, whether it's better suited locally or whether it's better suited upstream. Tagging's another good example. How can you, if you need to tag your product in store, where should that task be done? Should it be done at the DC so the stores don't have to spend hours tagging product? Mm-hmm. Should it be done in the store? Should it be done at the supply chain? You know, when you're making the garment, is it not easier just to tag the product at source? So you've got all these different debates. And at the end of the day, you need to evaluate it based on the impact on the P&L. But ultimately, any business has to put the customer first. And if the business case suggests putting more resources into delivering more exceptional service and training your teams to be really good sellers, if you can put more hours and you can see that you can sell more by having more people focused on the customer on the shop floor, then it kind of pays for itself. And that's what businesses need to be evaluating.
We've talked a lot about the high street and the retail estate. What about e-commerce and driving more of that omni-channel experience? What are some of the challenges that you found there? You know, the high street is challenged at the moment, as we know. What kind of things do you need to do to get more people to consider shopping online and vice versa? How do you drive footfall into retail when some high streets are dying?
Yeah, and I think the first thing I'd say is, you know, you need to let the customer decide which channel they feel most comfortable shopping in. So some organisations have a strong bias towards driving their e-com business to the point where they will sell the same product but discount it more online. They'll run more promotions online. They'll discount the product or have different, not have rate parity, which is a real challenge if you're running a multi-channel business. So I think for me, the customer will decide where they want to shop. So every behavior or marketing or process that you create should be channel agnostic. But a good example is organizations will use email to drive customers to their e-commerce business.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, you've got a lot of customers that want to shop in store. They like the experience of traditional retail, being on the high street, looking at product, feeling it, touching it, trying it on. But they'll still want to receive communications from you. They still want to receive emails and they still want to engage with your brand. So organizations need to think of it as, you know, the email is a vehicle to represent your brand and drive traffic to any channel. So don't use the communication just to only talk about e-com only offers. Use it as a vehicle to talk about the brand, to talk about the proposition online, in store. And one thing we're doing is sending emails to customers talking about product that's landing, newness, new product that's landing in store, in their local store. So you're using, you're analysing and understanding the customers that sign up to emails but only shop in store. And you know what store they shop in. So send them relevant communications, driving them into store. And
is it working? Yeah, it is
working, because it's more personalized content, it's more relevant. And I think, you know, the law, I think GDPR has changed, certainly in Europe, has changed a lot how brands engage with customers. But still, customers want timely, relevant communications. So I think brands need to think, stop thinking about e-commerce and retail, and think more multi-channel. When they're creating brand and marketing campaigns, stop thinking this is going to be solely for retail and this campaign is to drive people online. And think about how you can talk to a customer about your business and be channel agnostic and let them decide where they want to shop. And I think that's where, you know, successful brands ultimately win, when they're not creating these silos within their organization.
Yep. Completely agree. What do you think the retail store of the future could be? If you had unlimited funds and could build anything that you want for your customers, what would it be? What would it feature?
Yeah, it's a super exciting topic. I think customers expect something different from their store experience now. I think one of the reasons why I think the high street has really struggled is the store experience. If you walk your average high street, I don't want to use Oxford Street as an example, but it's just boring and it's not exciting. And you walk into a store and, you know, the service you're receiving is mediocre at best. So I think brands really need to start challenging themselves on how to create more excitement. So you want to walk into a store, you want really powerful windows that tell a story. A lot of brands still do the very formulaic brand image, mannequin, message on the glass. I think it's very formulaic and it can be interesting, but on the whole, it's, I think, boring. Customers want something different. So whether that be you're injecting digital into the windows, whether it be you're creating more excitement about stronger brand messages in the window that doesn't always have to be linked to a product story. You know, what we're looking at doing now, we're really big and focused on sustainability because it's part of our DNA, and our founders were activists and they believed in a better planet. They believed in connected communities. So we're going back to our roots and we're going to start talking about sustainability more and talk about how we're reducing water consumption in the production of denim and how we're using more recycled product as filling in our outerwear. And I think consumers today want more stories, not just really bland, boring windows. And when you get into the store, you've got to make it exciting for the customer. You need to inspire them through outfit building, inspire them, get them to shop the full store, have stronger VM, put digital in your store, create digital showrooming as a bit of an experience. And I think you need to look at the retail store not just as a P&L itself. I think you need to look at your whole business P&L and make investments that sometimes aren't going to always give you this ROI, because you've got to think of the brand experience. And, you know, I feel very passionately about, you know, being a brand isn't just what you say. It's the sum of all your experiences. So you can have an amazing brand campaign, but if you're going to the store, the store looks tired, the VM isn't strong, the service is poor. Immediately you feel a bit rejected from the brand because it's not meeting your expectations based on all these campaigns that you talk about to the consumer. So for me, the store of the future has to be more exciting, more
Experiential.
Absolutely. Very experiential. Whether you're bringing digital into that, whether you have an exceptional service, whether you're, you know, really challenging what the store looks like. You know, we're creating a new store concept that we're going to be launching in Europe at some point during the summer. And we're really challenging what the store should look like and feel like, not just, you know, a number of standard fixtures that you see in any retailer. Let's change how we present product. Let's bring digital into the store. Let's get customers getting their mobile out and engaging with product. Let's have swing tags with information on, or QR code that when you scan it, it gives you a little mini tour about how the garment was made, what country it was made in, where it was sourced. And I think customers want more experiences when they go into store. So we will continue to test and learn, try new things, talk to our customers, just to really try and perfect, you know, what should the ideal experience in store look like. But all I know is today that, you know, the average experience is just not good enough anymore, and customers demand more. So we're listening, we're changing, and we're going to try some new things. So watch your space.
Sounds fascinating. I look forward to visiting it in the summer. Thanks a lot, Danny, for taking the time to talk to us today. Just before we wrap up, if you could pass on one piece of advice to retailers listening today, what would that be?
Well, the only advice I think I should really give is that the customer is king. And a lot of brands, especially in the UK, it's a tough market. You know, Europe's tough, but I see, you know, the UK is really struggling. And the one bit of advice for me is listen to your customers, because most brands disconnect because customers don't see them as relevant anymore, because customers don't enjoy the experience anymore, because what they're delivering and what the customer expects, they're just not living up to expectations. So for me, everything we do in our organization is all focused around, you know, who's the customer and what do they want? And if you stay really focused or stay really in tune with your customer, then you won't go too far wrong.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for everyone for tuning in. If you want to chat more about this subject or have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to enginepresents@enginegroup.com. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to keep up to date with our latest episodes. We're on all the major podcast platforms.